Now to a novel that may or may not be a thriller. Here's the mysterious part. Graffiti appears at a local hospital, seemingly directed at the cleaner, a poet and a refugee from war-torn Bosnia. Why and what does it mean? Alec Patrick is Serbian by birth but grew up in Melbourne. His novel, Black Rock, White City, is set in Melbourne suburbs, but it's haunted by a European past. Here's Alec Patrick with Fiona Gruber.
One of my great inspirations when I was growing up, when I first decided I wanted to be a writer, was Dostoevsky. And he wrote Crime and Punishment, and that's just as much a crime novel as it is a philosophical exploration of what it means to be free. So when I started writing Black Rock, White City, I suppose that was something I wanted to have in the book as well, something that created a really compelling read. So you didn't have to fight your way through from one page to another. I wanted to really create something that would, you know, propel you forward.
Well, it definitely hooks you in, as do the characters. So we have a couple, very scarred by war, Jovan and Suzana.
Well, Jovan's from Bosnia. Suzana's from Serbia, but she was living in Bosnia during the Bosnian War. She was married to Jovan. They became refugees as the civil war in Bosnia went on.
And they end up in Frankston, outside of Melbourne, down the peninsula.
That's right.
And you yourself are of Serbian background. You were born in Belgrade.
Yeah.
So these characters, are they based on people you actually knew? Did you draw inspiration from people you knew?
You absolutely always draw from your life and the people that are close to you, the people that you love or your friends and family. But in my case, I was 1 year old when I came to Australia with my parents, and they came in the early 70s. They were immigrants, like many immigrants, that just came with full of hope for a better life. Belgrade, where they both came from, was still recovering from the Second World War. It was just demolished by both the Nazis as well as the Allies. I met Bosnian refugees in the late 90s, and because of the culture that I had, because of the language I had, I was able to befriend them. I was able to become intimate with them in a way that most people probably wouldn't. And so I suppose that was the inspiration for characters like Jovan and Suzana. But there's also the immigrant experience, and healthy doses of my mother's life and my father's life would probably find themselves in those two characters also.
Well, it's an experience that millions of Australians share, although in your novel, the characters, their lives are completely changed. Jovan, who was a lecturer and a poet, is now working cleaning the floors of a hospital. His wife was also an intellectual. Australia absorbs people, but at least in your novel, They don't really appreciate their richness and the interesting parts of them. It's more that they're just here and, you know, here's a bucket of mop.
Well, you know, what's remarkable to me, well, I had a sort of an insight at some point after I'd finished the novel, when I looked at all the people that had come to Australia since the First Fleet, and I thought almost in every one of their lives there was strife and turbulence, disaster in the background. So, because for the first 150 years or so, Australia was a pretty difficult place to come to. You didn't come here because you wanted to. You came here because you needed to. And so, in a strange way, I find my two characters, Jovan and Suzana Brakočević, archetypally Australian. And so they come to Australia. They come with their histories and they come with their passions. And it's up to them to bring those passions out to the world. You know, Australia's obviously not going to be, you know, just simply interested in their life stories because they've got interesting life stories. Everyone's going along with their own lives. And that's, I think, a fairly natural thing to do.
But there is this mysterious Dr. Graffito who haunts the corridors of the hospital. And there's also, you know, other mysterious characters who kind of pop up, who they recognise in the streets from war-torn Bosnia. There's a haunting of the past that seems to kind of pervade every page.
Sure. Dr. Graffito was actually the very first, you'd call him a catalyst for the story, because the first thing I had when I was thinking of the story was this particular kind of graffiti, which was a very articulate, very aggressive type of graffiti. It wasn't just tagging. It wasn't just catchy. There was something really sharp about it. And then the response was from Jovan. The response was from a poet. And I found myself constructing a kind of dialogue, because Graffito, as he's putting these messages, these desperate messages on the wall of the hospital that he works in, because he certainly works in the hospital, he knows that Jorvan, the cleaner, is going to be destroying his messages. So we have this chance to have a dialogue between these two people. And Jorvan's life has reached a certain kind of compressed stasis. And the graffiti really twists him open. It breaks him open. And that's what I found fascinating about the way the graffiti was interacting with Jorvan as a character.
Yeah, it's almost like dark therapy. And, I mean, the graffiti is not your normal kind of Dick was here kind of stuff, is it? Phrases like a river of waste just below your skin, your bones rot in history's flowing shit. That's kind of heavy graffiti to discover when you're going around mopping up in the morning.
Sure. I mean, for me, graffito was a chance to express or give voice to a great deal of dissatisfaction and desperation that I feel is just below the surface of suburban Australian culture. I think we seem to be a very complacent, materialistic sort of culture, but below the surface there's a deep amount of aggression and frustration, and I think that's what graffito is responding, where his voice is coming from.
You mentioned Dostoevsky before, and in a review in The Australian, your work is described as bringing European modernism to the suburbs of Australia, which is a pretty heady accolade. What does that mean? In what sense are we talking European modernism?
I was compared to Patrick White, and I was continuing Patrick White's mission to bring European modernism to the Australian suburbs, which I thought was a delightful quote, but for me to answer that, you know, that wasn't my objective, it wasn't my mission. I love Patrick White, but I wouldn't say that he's one of my major influences. It's one of those quotes where I'll take it, but I really wouldn't be able to respond to it in any articulate way, I don't think.
So if you said, you know, you'll take that compliment, but what exactly is European modernism?
Perhaps you'd define it as a lack of romance. It's a more realistic depiction of the world.
Maybe a bit more visceral.
Yeah.
Because talking of visceral, you write quite a few sex scenes in this book between Jorvan and his very earthy lover, Tammy. Is it hard writing sex scenes?
No, it wasn't hard writing the sex scenes. There's this wonderful quote I like to think of when I think of something like a sex scene, and it's it comes from Jane Smiley when she was interviewed about 10 Days in the Hills, a book that has a lot of sex scenes. And one of the things she said about those sex scenes was that we can find expressions of character that are otherwise unavailable to us. So to see someone in their most intimate moments, we get an idea of who they are better than when they're, you know, telling us who they think they are. And the fact is that Jorvan is a very, very closed down character. So when he's having sex with Tammy, we get to see what's underneath that surface. It wasn't just, for me, a chance to write something that was erotic. It was a chance to show character. So it's primarily that for me. I think that if you focus on developing your character, then you've got more of a chance of creating something that feels powerful and emotional rather than simply titillating or erotic in some kind of superficial way.
So it is erotic and it is powerful. And so is the relationship between Jorvan and Susanna. They're a couple who are so scarred by the terrible things that happened to them during the war in Europe that they can they're learning to function again. They're learning to hope.
That's right. They're unable to have any kind of intimacy. And as the novel progresses, we find that the affair that he's having with Tammy, which Susanna knows, she's allowed him to have affairs because of the sort of sexual dysfunction that they're both aware of, but they need to stay together to be able to think of themselves as not totally lost. They're the last fragments they have of each other's lives, but they're not able to have intimacy. But Tammy she goes from being just simply a brief sort of affair to becoming more and more problematic in their relationship. And Susan has also got other things happening in her life. I think she's a very important character in the story. She has a cleaning job as well. She works in a house in Black Rock. That's a suburb of Melbourne. And there's a family, and they're trying to have another baby. And it's in seeing that family as they're struggling to have a baby, because it's a very difficult pregnancy. She realises that she wants another baby.
Because, of course, I don't think it's giving away too much to say they lost their children.
That's right. They lost both their children during the war. And that's the biggest trauma in their lives that they're trying to overcome. And so Susanna's decision to have a baby is a revolutionary act in their lives, and it brings them both to life. But anything that's coming back to life is going to struggle through layers of pain. And so Tammy is part of that. The sex with Tammy is, you're even struggling to come alive as well in your sexual life. And so there's a lot of strife in their emotional lives because of that particular kind of triangle.
Did you find this a hard novel to write?
I think every novel's incredibly hard to write. There are parts of this book where every single time I read it, I cry. You know, I've got two kids, and, you know, just the thought of losing them is, to me, horrific. There are parts of the book that I laugh, you know. There's a lot of joy in it
as
well.
There's a lot of very black humour in
it. Yeah, I hope that people don't think this is just a very dark story. I think there's a lot of humour, like some of those minor characters you mentioned.
And for more on those minor characters, including a charismatic, badly behaved lecturer of literature, do listen to a longer version of that discussion with Fiona Gruber and Alec Patrick online. His novel, Black Rock, White City, under the name A.S. Patrick, is published by Transit Lounge Publishing. More Australian writing next week. Mfanwy Jones' new novel, Leap. Parkour, tigers and grief jump over each other. So do join me again next week. I'm Kate Evans, turning the pages with you. Do stay with RN right now, though, won't you?